reasonably occur close to the coming of Christ, because Paul is saying these are signs that the day of Christ is at hand. Sort of, it's implied somewhat. I mean, he's not saying that, but you know, but from what he's saying, that kind of is, it implies that to me, that these are things that you can look out for that are closer to that time. The grievous wolves have entered in. So much so that it's like that. You know, I don't consider like I said, I can't really be part of most churches because I'm so contrary. And it reminds me of the time of Christ when John the Baptist went into the wilderness to preach because I don't think the synagogues were a fit place for him. Jesus went to the synagogues. It was a occasion for stoning, you know. So he taught mostly in the wilderness as well. Paul went to a lot of synagogues and he caused a lot of trouble in those synagogues. Found trouble. And synagogues were just the gathering places of the day, you know, the churches. And today our churches are pretty much like synagogues. I mean, the places we gather. Back then, the church was these people because they didn't have, like, buildings, not to begin with. They couldn't. But if a Christian church is a building, you know, then they'd know where to find you. You know, because these people were under persecution. Well, the man of sin, being the son of perdition, commonly understood Antichrist. It has to be revealed so the people know. So, and in that, we have a little more description of him. He opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. He's higher than everything that is God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself. That means, like, exhibiting himself, making a show that he is God. In the book of Revelation, it talks about one who will be able to call down fire from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. It could even refer to lightning. He calls lightning strike with the snap of his fingers. Perhaps. But even so, we have one who's going to claim to be God. God on earth. That's why he's called the false Christ. And we're going to see people exchange their worship of Christ for this false Christ. And that may be the special apostasy that Paul is referring to, if he's referring to one. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. I told you about these things. And remember, the point is that the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him is not going to happen before these things happen. We have to see Antichrist sit in the temple of God, putting on a show. That is a significant event in history. I mean, that is from the book of Daniel. We see it in the book of Revelation, or similarly, at least, chapter 13, perhaps. So we need to wait. Those signs must come to pass. Otherwise, that's why I can say Jesus is not going to return tomorrow and gather together his faithful. It's not going to happen. When he comes, he's going to come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and raising the righteous from the dead. That's the first resurrection. It says in Revelation 20. You know, Revelation 19 talks about Christ returning, and it talks about the feast of the great, you know, the supper of the great God where the birds come. And then 20, we see coming down, Satan is chained, God raises up the dead in Christ, and we will be changed right after that. Who are alive, if we are alive, maybe I'll be dead. Maybe I'll be raised first. There's an advantage to being one of those who pass on. You get to see Christ sooner. Paul said, I told you this. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now, one of the highest comedies and tragedies of modern Christian doctrine teaching by false teachers is when they actually try to suggest that this restraining influence on Satan is the presence of the church on earth. How ridiculous. The whole point of this passage is Paul is trying to tell you that the church is not going to be gathered together to Christ till after these things happen. Well, so what are you going to say? Those things can't happen? He can't come? So we got this circular reason. We're like, well, we can't go until after Antichrist comes. But Antichrist can't come till we go. I could scream at you who teach such things. And Christ is going, oh, God forgive you for what wicked things you've taught in the name of Christ. Ye wicked. Believe me, as it says, if a prophet be deceived, I, the Lord, have deceived him and will punish him. He will yet find fault. Remember now when I was with you, I told you, now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed. What withholdeth? Only he who now, it's so mysterious. Obviously, it's like, he who holds back, letteth means to hold back or hold down. It's a, letteth is like an old English word. It kind of means the opposite today, because we think let, we mean, you know, let me go. We think in that term. Who holds him down? Well, I suppose God holds him down, doesn't he? I mean, who restrains Satan? The church? Give me a break. If the church has any influence on Satan, it's because of God influencing us. But believe me, he doesn't need the church out of the world to get his way. Believe me, his way will be in the church. How do you think the falling away is going to happen? And the falling away, God, it cannot be a flying away. Because the whole point is, our gathering together can't happen until these things happen. So you couldn't say, you know, I can't get in the car till I get in the car. I mean, we can say that, but that's not, that's just, find a word for it. It's not incredibly an intelligent interpretation.